Michiel.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd like to also reinforce the gratitude of the expert mechanism to all the panelists for coming today. This is an excellent platform for us to share our views and also interact and engage with the different entities of the UN system. I'll just make two quick points, and although it appeared that there were different views, but I think there are common denominators that emerged also in these discussions. It's clear that language matters. It's clear that actions matter, right? Both matter. I think the issue with right to development and its mainstreaming in the working of the UN system is more from a framework perspective. And I think that's where the expert mechanism can contribute a bit more. It takes me back to the whole debate on vaccine nationalism that was taking place during the pandemic. And I remember very distinctly the Director General of the World Health Organization echoed the words of the Secretary General of the UN that vaccine nationalism is a moral catastrophe. And of course, it's a moral catastrophe. There was no doubt about the fact that it was a moral catastrophe. But there is a particular value added to saying also that this was a violation of the duty to cooperate, not just a moral catastrophe. This was a violation of the duty by developed countries to cooperate with the developing countries by stockpiling of vaccines, preventing exports, preferential agreements, etc. So I do think when I say the duty to cooperate, of course, it's inherent to the right to development. So it's a question of framing, which I think the right to development can be better mainstreamed into the working and functioning of the UN system. Now, you rightly mentioned about the parallels between human development and the right to development. In fact, part of my own work, my book was on these on the symbiotic relationship between human development and the right to development. What I also found was that there is a contribution that the right to development can make to better realizing human development, because it's the right to development that frames human development through the lens of claims and entitlements, through the framework of rights and duties. Without that normative framework of rights and duties, human development is really something that needs to be achieved. It can be achieved, but the language of rights and duties within the context of human development, for that matter, even human security, can be beneficial. And I do feel that there are synergies there with for the expert mechanism to collaborate with the UNDP to see what are the entry points where human development can benefit from the rights and duties language that the right to development brings in. The second point I want to make very quickly is that is regarding this whole debate on human rights-based approach to development and development-based approach to human rights. The human rights-based approach to development is actually not an approach or not a concept agreed upon in any international treaty. As we all know, its genesis came from the common understanding of the UN system in the early 2000s, when an internal document was prepared within the United Nations system that would be applicable to all entities of the UN system. Now, of course, there's resistance from the IMF, but most others have integrated that. And the idea was, of course, that the objectives of any development project would be linked to human rights, and it would be based on the norms and standards and principles of human rights. Now, we have noticed, of course, in our work that there is a significant opposition to the concept of human rights-based approach to development from member states, particularly those of the Global South. And as Bhatia rightly pointed out, the pushback comes through the alternative concept of development-based approach to human rights. While the right to development needs to combine both, and it does combine both, when we take both of either of these concepts individually on their own, the problem is, and this is not just a linguistic problem, it's a problem of frameworks as well, that human rights-based approach to development still keeps human rights and development as two separate compartments. It's a human rights-based approach to development or a development-based approach to human rights still. Either of these individually on their own treat development and human rights as different compartments, such that one is a precondition for the other. What right to development says is that, well, actually, development itself is a human right. And in our first thematic study of the expert mechanism a couple of years ago, we did bring this up, and we did point out from a practical perspective what the pitfalls of adopting either approach can be. And at the end of the day, human rights-based approach is a conceptual framework. The right to development is a normative framework. There's a difference between a conceptual framework and a normative framework. And I do think, therefore, that there is a great space and an opportunity for the expert mechanism to engage with the wider UN system, because whether there are to be some modifications made, updates made, it's not going to come from either UN Women or UNDP. It's going to be a system-wide change within the UN system. And so there is an opportunity for the expert mechanism to work with the UN system to try and integrate these system-wide upgrades, I would say, rather, to how development itself is conceived of and mainstreamed in the practices of the system. In closing, Madam Chair, I would like to again say that this has been a wonderful platform to exchange views. What this has reinforced is that there is a lot more. We need the space and the opportunity to engage a lot more with different entities of the United Nations system. I see UNICEF is here. We would be very happy to engage more with UNICEF, the other funds, other programs, but also, I think, in our context, with some of the specialized agencies, particularly the international financial organizations, the World Bank and the IMF, and related organizations as well, like the World Trade Organization, which is where we have found some sort of a resistance from, as the United Nations system in general is also aware about. Thank you, Madam Chair.